This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net.
Welcome back to Wells Tech. This is episode 380 for February 17th. 2015, show about technology, ministry. My name, Martin Spriggs, and my pal, Sally Draper, just in time. In fact, both of us are, this was kind of the one of the most unorganized podcasts that I think we've put together, at least from the start. Now, it'll get better as we go along, is my prayer, Sally. But both of us jumped into this podcast from day-long meetings, so... It's potluck today.
This is fun stuff, though. We got past all that boring meeting stuff.
We could talk about this stuff regardless of prep, I think.
Yeah, there you go. Topic for today is project management, kind of inspired by our upcoming Wells Tech conference. We have an interview to share with Julia Wagenknecht, who's going to come to our conference and present on online project management tools.
Yep. This topic is probably a topic that sounds maybe a little dry and something that maybe only applies in a business scenario. But Sally, I believe project management is really almost essential in many church and school tasks, anywhere from running a VBS to planning a worship service. Those are all projects. Those are multi-step tasks that need coordination, and that's kind of what we're talking about today.
Yeah, and oftentimes projects that involve a lot of different people, and so even coordinating a project where it's just you running the show is a challenging task. But when you introduce, like in worship planning, your organist,
one other person, right?
Other musicians and all those different people that have a part in that worship service, then it becomes that much more complicated to manage.
Yep, and there are a number of whys why you would kind of want to be a better project manager and in so doing use the appropriate tools. One you just mentioned is probably key, and that's the ability to collaborate, especially when many of the projects that are managed in church or school aren't necessarily done where everybody's in the same room at the same time. It happens over periods of time. It happens in little spurts, and it happens with people, volunteers sometimes, that aren't physically inhabiting the same office. So that collaborative nature of project management is sometimes one of the hardest, because you're not, face-to-face talking through some of the tasks that are related to executing on the project. They have to be done in a time-shifted way sometimes.
Yep. I think also just the fact that you keep it organized, you approach things with a systematic process so that you know you can count on looking in a specific place and you can see, the current status on things and that kind of things, that organizational effort, so that you can kind of keep your thumb on the pulse of the project at any given time. It's a real challenge, and it's a real blessing to be able to have some type of system in place that allows you to do that.
Sally, what in your experience, and actually sitting in a pastor's office and knowing a number of how pastors work, what's your guess as to kind of the typical project management approach in a church or even a school office? What kinds of things, what kinds of tools do you think are predominantly in use?
Well, I've seen everything from just a local server where they share files and things and people know that a particular folder has the files related to the project. I've seen, that pastor, office administrator, principal relationship just being a lot of, communication, regular meetings, all those kind of things, but also involving a lot of paper and a lot of repetitive task where, each year we know we're going to have this maybe mission festival event or whatever that involves, these different components or whatever. So a lot of different ways of attacking it, but a lot that can be captured and reused even on a regular basis.
And what I see are two things. I see a file folder with scribbles on papers from previous events, let's say it's a previous VBS event, with checklists, which can work, although you don't have the ability to share that or work on that with future tasks. And then the other way I see commonly for project management is just email after email after email.
Very true. Lots of
so I think there are better ways, and that's really kind of what we wanted to focus on the show. One of the things that is very difficult to do with those kinds of systems, even with like a server and a file folder, is tracking progress and maintaining accountability. Who's up next? Who's got the ball? What are they supposed to do? When are they supposed to do it by? What's their progress? Are they having any troubles? Those kinds of things. And I think some of the software things we're going to talk about really help in that progress tracking dimension that is so hard to keep track of and is one of the primary reasons why projects get stuck or delayed or waited on till the last minute is because somebody's expecting somebody else to do something and there's a disconnect. And so that communication is a problem.
You know, we've been working through a productivity methodology in the book that we're reading, What's Best Next. And I think one of the things that's really important is mapping out that path, what the actions are that are expected in a project. And sometimes just having a system to be able to force you to plan what the tasks are associated with the project and so that you can begin to address, you know, who's accountable for what the dependencies are, what order it should happen in. Just, you know, systematizing that and forcing you to map out those tasks can be super valuable.
Yep. So lots of different kinds of projects come to mind as we think about a church or a school. You know, maybe on the school side, maybe a curriculum mapping project or just kind of to manage any kind of strategic rollout that would be mapped across more than just one faculty member. Strategic planning in general, that would go for both church and school. Events management, we talked about that a little bit with the mention of VBS, but any kind of production or athletic event that requires some coordination and multiple people could benefit from good project management methodology and good project management tools. Can you think of any others, any good examples of projects within church or school?
Yeah, actually, kind of expanding a little from the local congregation or local school to more perhaps circuit, district, or synod-wide boards and committees that you're a part of. I know my husband at one point was on a constitution evaluation committee or whatever. Just being able to put task associate who's doing what on committees and see updates and things via the cloud so that everybody can access it in a place on the internet could be super valuable to board and committee work, I would think.
Yep. And then probably the event that I think could probably benefit the most from just good project management practices and maybe some software tools would be the event that happens every Sunday, and that's the worship service. There are many moving parts to any worship service, and you are involving, let's say, certainly the pastor, the worship leader. You're involving maybe an organist or a musician or instrumentalist. You're involving choir director, choir, ushers, guild
altar
members.
Guild. Yeah.
Yep. There's just a lot of coordination for every Sunday, and some kind of tool and some procedures and processes need to be in place to make that run smoothly rather than just kind of assuming everybody's going to know what to do, especially if you have different players on different Sundays or different weekends. Some of these project management approaches could be really helpful because this truly every Sunday is a project.
That's right. And, you know, that whole idea of going to the cloud with it, something that we wouldn't have talked about 5 years ago on this podcast, I don't think, Martin, that now is just very commonplace. We have lots of tools to share that allow you to do that. really open it up, even in the local congregation. People's schedules vary, and they need to be able to get to it 24/7 from wherever they are so that they can be part of that worship collaboration or whatever it may be. So,
yeah. So if you were looking for a project management solution, a software solution, Sally, what would kind of be on your requirements list? What must it do? What kind of application must it be?
Well, I think I said already in the cloud,
yep.
Probably web-based. Something not just in the cloud but accessible from my handy-dandy phone that's with me 24/7 would yep. be really, really effective.
Yep, I would agree. Cost is always a factor, and we're going to talk about some free solutions, but here I'd really offer a word of caution that if there is some cost involved with a solution that fits your situation, then it's probably money well spent, because you are you're going to live in this tool because you have the number of projects that I think you might have. It's going to be worth not struggling with the tool. It has to be something that you are comfortable using and enjoy using. It should be your friend rather than something you struggle against. So if you find a solution that is free and you kind of butt heads with, maybe look a little bit deeper and maybe spend a few bucks and make sure that you're getting a solution that's going to aid your ministry rather than just kind of be this nagging thing that you know you have to do.
So another must-have then would be that it's pretty easy to use. You're going to probably introduce a lot of different users to the tool, some of them just volunteers who don't want to have to think a lot about, the software they're using. They just want it to work for them and not have to spend a lot of time on it. I think in my mind, especially having lived it some and knowing what I know, ease of use also involves a lot of possibilities of structuring my projects, so a lot of different ways to kind of slice and dice my data. Flexibility, a robust product that offers, kind of a way to design it that fits my needs.
Totally agree. So let's jump into some of the tools that are out there, which is the fun part. And you and I, Sally, both are involved in a lot of projects, some complex projects.
I'm having microphone issues with you, Martin. I don't know if there's any way you can adjust, but you went staticky on me.
Still?
Yes.
Let me try a different mechanism here. I have options.
That's good.
How about now?
That sounds better. Thank you.
Yikes. I've just had microphone nightmares here. I've tried USB mics. I've tried analog mics. I've tried digital mics. Now I'm using the microphone on the laptop itself. Imagine that.
So I predict a pick in Martin's near future for a new microphone. Stay tuned, folks. We're going to be hearing from him again about this issue.
What in the world is going on here?
I don't know.
Okay. So now we want to talk about a couple of the available or maybe some suggested project management tools. And there are kind of, I'm going to call them three categories of different types of project management tools. One I would kind of call task management, that really kind of zero in on just raw tasks. Now there is some coordination of tasks and that kind of thing, but what they really start and end with is the task. Then there's what I would call online true project management, top-down project management tools, which kind of take it a level above that. And then our old friend mind mapping software, which can be repurposed and used a lot of different ways. So let's talk about all three of those categories. First of all, task management. There's a tool you and I, Sal, use a lot called Wrike.
That's right. You can find it at Wrike.com. I should share my screen because I have it up on the screen. Wrike is what we've... Thank you. What we've adopted in the tech office to manage our technology projects. So it has basically become my brain. I spend a lot of time in the Wrike ecosystem. It is basically a task management tool. It doesn't have as much of the top to bottom full project management. We just put individual tasks in and we can set deadlines. It can give us reminders. We can have subtasks. We can have collaborators on projects. Parts of it have kind of a feel like Facebook, I would say, where you have streams of conversation around different projects. And, obviously you can go back and reference things that are part of the project. You can add collateral items like, you know, Word documents or Excel files or whatever it may be that you're working on in association with the project, and just kind of be able to track and see the progress on the project as you work through it, or task. I should call it a task. So I don't know if there's any way for you to know as administrator of Wright how many tasks we have out there. Our small little work group probably has thousands of tasks now stored in Wright after using it for a year or so. So
yeah, one of the nice things about Wright and some of these other tools we'll talk about is the obviously it's mobile friendly and it's web-based, but it also integrates with your email. So as you work in a task, you can have notifications sent. So if you prefer to kind of dialogue back and forth via email, but still have the benefit of having that entire conversation, whether it's email or online, captured in one little bucket, this really does that well, so that you can kind of pick and choose how you want to communicate and still get the benefit of that coordinated experience. And Wright is free for up to 5 users, so your free account can include 5 users. If you need to go beyond that number of users, then there's a price to be paid. But I would think to get started, see if you like it, that's probably a good way to start.
Very good. There's a couple of others in this category, Martin. Maybe I'll stop my screen sharing. I don't have them open specifically, but we'll have links in the show notes to Todoist.
Todoist, right. Very popular.
And Wunderlist.
And Wunderlist. Wunderlist, I don't remember whether that is available on PC or not. I know it's a big-time Mac and iOS application that gets really high marks. It's kind of a beautifully designed app and really works well. But it was an app of the year last year, 2014. It was one of the apps of the year that I don't remember if we talked about it or not, but gets high marks in that regard. But again, more just a raw task manager rather than project manager. And I think it is, for what many churches or schools would use it for, is, I believe, free. So I could be wrong in that, but I think it is free. So good options there.
Very good. The next category that you mentioned was online project management. And that's what Julie is actually going to talk to us about in our interview today, an online project management tool called Trello.
Trello, and again, this would be kind of a top-down, full online project management tool that Julia and team have found really valuable. So rather than us kind of talk through it, because we're not the Trello experts, although we've dabbled in it, why don't we listen to Julia talk about her experiences with Trello.
Joining us today from Houston, Texas, is Julie Wagenknecht, wife of Latin American missionary Nate Wagenknecht. Thanks for joining us, Julie.
Thanks for inviting me, Sally and Martin.
She's one of our faithful listeners. We talked about your ironing during the show, and here you are. You didn't bring any ironing along, did you?
No, I didn't, but I'll admit it's piling up a little bit.
Okay, you better start listening again. Julie has a very interesting background, so maybe we'll just start with Julie. You tell us a little bit about yourself and your family and your service and all kinds of things going on in your life.
Sure. Currently, my husband and I live in Houston, and in Texas, and we serve Latin American missions kind of from afar. And we recently were placed with 2 foster children, so we're kind of planted here for a little bit. Something interesting, Sally, that I don't know if you know, is that my career actually started in your neck of the woods up in Minneapolis. I started out in marketing for an exhibit company, basically managing trade shows and doing all the marketing behind that. But I got my feet wet with Wells Kingdom Workers and went to Japan and then Dominican Republic, and I guess before that Malawi in Africa, and did some stateside ministry in between. So altogether, and then being married to my husband Nathan Wagenknecht, I have over 15 years of world mission experience. And probably one of the more, I guess, stateside roles I had was administering the World Missions Promotion Center, getting the missionaries out to the congregations and schools and groups to share the stories of what's going on in our mission fields, and also thank all of our wonderful supporters.
You've had a lot of irons in the fire over the course of your career, and now is no different with a growing family, of course, but you have some professional responsibilities that require you to kind of keep track of a lot of things, which kind of is the reason that we wanted to talk to you, because we're talking about project management, and that's kind of your life, right? You're dealing with one little project or big project after another, and recently you've been working pretty closely with some projects related to multi-language publications and the work in Latin America, and so what has been your experience with maybe before and now with some of the project management tools that are at your disposal?
Well, I go back to my early days at the exhibit company where we were just going from paper to digital, and that still had a lot of backtracking and follow-up face-to-face meetings. And then in Malawi, I actually ran a Christian Reading and Learning Center where I tracked over 8,000 visits in 2 years. And a lot of that was all manually entered data and manually sharing that. And probably the most recent was with the World Missions Promotion Center, actually coordinating with the missionaries, their presentation materials, their schedules, and then as well as working with the stateside groups, getting all those plans together, a lot of details to take to track and also to share with different people. So I did use several digital project management programs, but none of it was really as online and connected as the current program that I'm currently using called Trello, which is actually an internet-based program that takes a lot of the information sharing work. It makes it all automatic. So
did you go out looking for a program like this? Did it just happen upon you? Well, how did you get connected with this particular program?
Well, I was working for Wells Kingdom Workers, helping out with their international communications division, and I was living in Mexico at the time, and their staff is all in Milwaukee. So we were trying to think of a way that we could streamline our workflow without adding on to additional daily correspondence. So that worked out really well. And I saw that need with Latin American missions, where we have missionaries, mission work spread all throughout Latin America, but a lot of it is collaboration work. So we wanted a way that we could track our projects and have anyone be able to look and know the status of any project at any time. So the neat thing is with Latin American missions, obviously we had to do some training to get everybody up to speed on the program. But how many times do you have a meeting and you have a really great meeting with a great agenda, and then you walk away and nothing seems to happen? Where what we do is we have Trello open during the meeting, and any action item is put onto Trello, and it's organized into boards, lists, and tasks. And with that, each task, it kind of has its own card, and the facilitator will actually assign a due date and a person to that task, and there's follow-through on it, and there's lots of opportunities for comments, for conversations on there. You can add documents, video, links, checklists, status reports, things. So everybody is kind of on the same page where we know where we need to make adjustments for a project. So I would say, though, probably the one key thing to make that work is to make sure everyone feels comfortable using it. And that's kind of where I came into play, where I actually offered training sessions for the different members of the team of Latin American Missions, as well as the MLP staff. And I kind of stay on call as a resource to help with additional training, questions, and I also am always updating resources that would be helpful to the different projects. And I will have to thank you, too, because a lot of my resources do come from Wells Tech.
Awesome. Nice little plug in there, Julie. I was just doing a little research of my own, and I found that you even submitted a listener review last spring about Trello. So if people want to read more, we're going to include a link in the show notes. All of that in preparation for potentially signing up for a breakout session you're going to be leading at Wells Tech Conference on online project management. So if folks come to that, will they find ways to use this for personal and church and school projects potentially?
Yeah, I think it's something that can really help congregation members as well as ministry leaders communicate, and when they're working on things, there's not a lot of time maybe to get together for face-to-face meetings, but when you do have those meetings, you can kind of follow up with using Trello to see where we're coming along on this project or that project. And it also transfers into your personal life. My husband and I obviously live in the same home, but we use Trello for keeping track of our financials, of who paid what bill, the household projects, and even family events. You know, we need to send out that birthday card to Dad kind of thing. So we've kind of become a Trello family where we pretty much anything that we do is on Trello.
You guys are all in. That sounds a lot like the Draper family, I think.
Yeah, you just need a Kanban board with Post-it notes to represent level. Visually in front of you.
So one thing, and you tell me if I'm right, and I've only used Trello just marginally, and when I was down at in El Paso a couple weeks ago and we looked at it together a little bit too, seems to me that it can be as simple or as complex as you want. And one of the neat things is that if you're new to it, the kind of on the front, it's a very simple, board and card system where you can just kind of keep things, right up front and with a quick glance see what's going on. But if you want to get more powerful with reminders and those kinds of things, you just got to peek under the hood a little bit and do some tweaking. Is that kind of an accurate assessment where it can kind of be the, you can get it with training wheels, you can take them off and really go, as far as you need to go.
Yes, that's exactly correct. You can make it exactly what you want it to be. It can be as simplistic as just kind of a basic to-do list that you could even make a checklist, or you can really branch it out and get it as detailed as possible. One of the benefits of Trello is that they do have an excellent help guide where you can go in and search, and they have some really great videos to walk you through if you just put in a Google search to if you are looking to do something or can't figure out something. Two of the really neat features is that you can hook it into your Google calendar, import it into your Google calendar. So if you have any events on there or any projects with due dates, if you can link it to your Google calendar, it'll automatically show up there. And your email, I had been one that had a lot of flagged emails of importance in my inbox and tended to kind of miss deadlines even though they were flagged. Well, now I can import them into Trello and actually assign them due dates, and I can get reminders where I actually get those things done. And I end up having a clean inbox.
Wow.
Beautiful. Mobile apps, do they have those as well?
Yes, they do, for both iPhone and Android.
Beautiful.
And they do have videos to show how to hook that up.
Cool. Cost?
Free.
Okay. I assume they have some premium services if you want to, certain features. It can't be totally free, right?
At this point, I know I'm a pro user, but that is, I've invited enough people to use it that I was able to get to that level. But I believe there for a minimal cost you can get another level, but I'm not sure exactly what features are included with that. But we have been very satisfied with what it offers us. And one of the things we're looking forward to is they're looking or working on it of putting it Trello into different languages. So especially for Latin America, we're really interested to get it into Spanish, because some of our boards are actually in Spanish for some of our on-site guys to actually be able to use Trello. But of course, we can put all of our information in Trello, but the templates and titles and things will still, some of it will be in English.
Okay.
Very good. Well, I think I'm convinced. I check off one of those 10 slots on my Wells Tech Conference registration and learn more with Julie. Looking forward to that.
Thank you. Looking forward to attending.
Awesome.
Thanks, Julie. Blessings on your work.
Thank you.
Your spirits are lifted after you talk with Julia about any topic, but she's really enthusiastic about this and her work with it, and I'm excited to try and find a project where I could maybe try this out as well. It looks really cool, and it seems like it fits a lot of needs for them.
Yeah, I actually wear two hats, and we use it here at MLC, and it looks a lot like what I'm showing on my screen right now, although I don't have a beautiful house in the background on the desktop. But, you know, these individual cards that represent different projects, and then you can open up a card and get into a lot more detail. I'm not sure if they have a screenshot of it, but just a whole lot more detail. There's people and labels and checklists and due dates, all kinds of different things that you can associate with each individual one when you click into it and kind of broaden your access to it.
Yeah, one thing I like, Sally, if you scroll back up to the top a little bit there, is the fact that you get these little indicators of how far you are along in the project. So you get these color codes at the top saying, hey, I've completed this section of tasks or this section. Gives you just kind of a thumbnail view of, you know, where the project stands. And I know when I've seen the MLP projects that have used this, the multi-language publication people using it, that's really helpful for them because a translation project goes through some very defined steps. And I can imagine that might be useful in a lot of ministry situations, too, where it's a very repeatable process that, hey, this needs to be done, and this needs to be done, and this needs to be done. So here, just on the dashboard, you can see what's what, and that seems to be helpful. So,
excellent. We listed Basecamp in this category as well, Martin, and again, I don't have that website open, but I know Basecamp is used in a lot of programming settings for project management. So it's a pretty robust tool. I believe it's open source, if I'm not mistaken.
I think it might have started open source, but okay. It's a paid-for product, or can be a paid-for product, although the link that we have in the show notes will be how teachers can get Basecamp for free, and they go through a number of scenarios where classroom projects are good candidates for Basecamp. Basecamp is also the tool that's used by the Hymnal Committee. So when we work on our subcommittees and our main committee, they're all over Basecamp, and it seems to be working well in their scenarios. So Basecamp.com, I believe, is the website, and take a look, especially if you're a teacher, because you can get a free account. Sally, the last category that we wanted to talk about here would be mind mapping software. And I guess you could say that every one of our shows is a project, and it is the tool that we use to manage a project.
That's right. We use MindJet's Mind Manager software, and we do have a templated mind map that we start and develop each show in, and then we use that as our notes as we're working through recording the show. Sometimes our notes are better than others, but a lot of times we have good notes there. And mind mapping is a very natural and intuitive process. It allows you to just throw your ideas out there and organize them later and have kind of a visual look to the process. And I don't know that we use all of the project management tools per se that are part of the MindJet tool set, but they allow you to kind of keep track of progress and things like that if you're using it in that project management mode.
Yep. There are some other alternatives to MindJet, although that's the one we have preferred because we've tried some of the others. One that we have tried in the past, and maybe they've improved it, so I'm not sure where it stands today, but MindMeister is an online web-based one. One of the advantages of using that is it works with Google Drive. So when you save your maps, and if you're a Google Apps school or church, it is nicely integrated with Google Drive, so it appears as a document in your Google Drive. Another one that is not network connected, I don't think there's an online version, but if you're interested in just using a package for mind mapping and managing projects that way, FreeMind is an open source tool that we've mentioned in the past that does a nice job at just plain vanilla mind mapping. And there are a ton of other mind mapping products out there. Just do a quick search. But those are the options that we're most familiar with.
Yeah, I bet you that many of our listeners have some type of project management going on, especially around that worship planning. I'd be really curious to hear if there are other tools that you use. We'd love it if you'd share that with us.
Yep. And we've got, looks like, a couple of resource links that we'll put in the show notes, right, Sally, for project management stuff.
Sure. I'm always prone to go to Wikipedia and see what kind of links they have. So they have a very lengthy list of different project management software on their site and all different, you know, analysis of what they're capable of.
Yep, and we have a top 15 project management software list in 2015 already, so very current. So if you're interested in kind of figuring out how to juice up your project management skills and some of the tools that are available, there are plenty of resources here. So no excuses. Should we move along to our next segment, Sally? You ready?
I'm ready. And our next segment is Ministry and Tech.
Ministry resources,
not news and tech. Wow. Rough day today. Ministry resources I'm super excited about because our good friend, Pastor Rob Gunther, Wells Tech Hall of Famer, has done yet another self-publication methodology, and that is his book, In Their Sandals, First-Person Sermons of Biblical Characters, is now available on Audible. So you can download an audio version of Pastor Gunther's book. And the I'm sure there's a really interesting story. He's corresponded with us over several months or maybe even a year in the process of getting his book recorded and how that all worked out and everything. So we maybe need to have Pastor Gunther on at some point and have him reveal the behind the curtain kind of effort that went into getting his book published in audio format.
I should give a shout out to Rob. I saw him last week in his home state of Alaska. I was up in Fairbanks for a pastor teacher conference on doing some productivity stuff with them, and got to see Rob and another Wells Tech listener, Steve Wall, who we've communicated with a number of times as well. So shout outs to both of them, and it was good to be with you guys.
Yeah, you'll have to tell us more about your conference. You did some productivity stuff, so I'll be anxious to hear that soon.
Let's move on to now news and tech.
News and tech. You could even say that. It rolls right off the tongue. We wanted to just pause for a moment and talk a little bit about some news that isn't the greatest for those of us that have Wells Viva insurance through Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield. And I think most people are aware that their site was hacked to some level. And as a result of that, they're allowing free credit monitoring services. So there's a website that's been set up, anthemfacts.com, and you can surf over there and get all the details about signing up for that identity theft repair and credit monitoring service.
And I would encourage you to do that. There really is no downside to that. You get, I believe, 2 years worth of credit monitoring, and with all the issues that, you know, some of these very big name companies have been having that probably have your data as well, there's no reason not to jump into this. I think going way back, I forget what the date is, anybody going back to, I want to say it's 04 that's ever had Viva Insurance would have had Anthem, maybe it was 06, something like that, is eligible for this. In fact, every member of the family that was ever covered for that time period would be eligible for that. So no reason not to reach out and see if you can grab that and protect yourself, because you never know. Sally, you said you've had some issues with some stolen information recently, right?
Yeah, just last week I logged into my checking account and realized that someone had used my debit card, and not for a small amount. They charged $147 on my debit card, and it cleared my bank. When I called the vendor that was involved, they said, yeah, we have your information. They read me my address and things like that. And this shipped to Bloomington, Indiana, or somewhere like that. And I said, I don't know anyone in Bloomington, Indiana, so I'm pretty sure that was not me that placed that order. So, yeah, I had to cancel the debit card and go through a chargeback process to get my money refunded. Yeah. Fortunately, obviously, from Visa, they covered it right away. And so, but, you know, one thing I guess I would recommend is just logging into your accounts regularly and checking them. Don't just wait till the end of the month when you reconcile or something like that, but maybe at least weekly log in and try to catch those kind of things as quickly as possible, because if it had continued, obviously they would have wiped out our accounts and we would be facing a lot of, you know, overdrafts and all that kind of hassle that you just don't want to go there. So
yeah, not totally true that you don't know anybody in Bloomington, Indiana, by the way. One of our loyal Wells Tech listeners, my daughter, is in Bloomington, Indiana.
Oh, that's right, Alicia. And Little Murray. We've got a couple of fans. So
There's Little Murray. Those.
Oh, is that adorable or what? What a cutie.
He is.
that's awesome.
Anyway, let's move on to our tips and picks of the week.
And I have a tip for you. It's actually a tip courtesy of the class I'm taking currently, enrolled in an educational technology class. And this week's focus is RSS. So hopefully most of our listeners have heard and maybe you're making use of RSS. If you haven't, it stands for Really Simple Syndication, and it's a way to make the web that you want to opt into come to you, either personally through an RSS aggregator like Feedly, or on your website where you can bring in feeds from various blogs, maybe bring in the Daily Devotion or the Through My Bible in 3 Years feed from the Wells, Wells.net site, whatever it may be. Feedly is the one that our teacher is actually having us focus on this week. So it reminded me of what a great tool it is, how easy it is to add RSS feeds to the site, and how convenient and what a great interface they have for mobile devices. So when I have a few minutes, I can just pull out my phone and catch up on my favorite blogs, especially tech and ministry type blogs that I follow, and hopefully find some new things to share here on the podcast. So the URL is feedly.com. And again, there's plenty of mobile options as well. They have iOS, Android, and Kindle apps available for Feedly. So you can totally personalize it, read and share, and access it from any of your devices. So check it out. If you aren't using an RSS reader, maybe that's a good challenge for you to give it a try. Let us know what you think.
Very nice. I like Feedly. It's a nice graphical display. Mm-hmm. Do a nice job. My pick of the week is for anybody who wants to download YouTube videos. This is kind of a constant battle to be able to offline those YouTube videos, because by default there is no download button for YouTube. And I ran across this tool the other day. It's both available for Windows and Mac, called YouTube Downloader HD. And one of the nice things about this is it will attempt to download the highest quality stream that it can. A lot of YouTube videos right now are available in HD. This is one of the only downloaders that I found that will actually default to trying to get that full HD version. It's a simple download. It is free. One of the real reasons that somebody would want to do this is, especially like in a classroom situation where you're going to play this video, don't count on the internet to be up. You just want to have these videos locally. Another reason to have this would be to embed it in a PowerPoint. This is the only way to do that, is to have it on a local file. You can download it, and then ultimately you can play it right embedded on your PowerPoint slide. You can store these once they're downloaded and use them over and over again. Just a nice little app, very easy to do, very easy to use. You just punch in the URL, what kind of quality you want. You can pull down just the audio if you want. Just a nice little tool that just stays out of your way until you want to use it. And then finally, when you do want to use it, it just works each and every time. I have not used it extensively yet. I've only used it a little bit. But in my experience, it has been foolproof. And almost, I think, now this may be my imagination, but I think faster than the other tools I've used. I don't know how that's possible, but it seems like it just does the job and then is done. But nice little interface where you simply just tell it what format you want, whether it's MP4, AVI, FLV, AVI HD, where it sits, where to save it, and then gives you a little progress bar, and you're done. So nice little tool, and at the right price.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's a hard lesson to learn when you're wanting to present something and relying on internet to do it. So, yeah.
Well, as many presentations as I do, any risk factor you can take out of them, the better. And this is one of the tools that does that. And most teachers are showing lots of videos through the course of a teaching day, and it just makes sense to have these offloaded rather than just cross your fingers that your Wi-Fi is going to stay up or that your provider has enough bandwidth. I would think, especially with the number of now schools that are going with Chromebooks, we have a lot of people online. You never know what the quality of the network is going to be, and a buffering video when you've got antsy fourth graders is not a good combination. I don't think so.
I could see things going south quickly with antsy fourth graders.
Let's talk about Wells Insider.
Yeah, I'm excited to reveal a brand new website for our friends at Institutional Ministries. Wonderful folks over there. They do outreach and evangelism for different correctional facilities, drug and alcohol treatment centers, and healthcare facilities, including extended care and mental health facilities. And they have a really new, easy-to-navigate website. Lots of options here, Bible lessons, reports, presentations, newsletters, videos, all of those things available on their site. So you can find it at willim.net. That's W-L-I-M for Wells Lutheran Institutional Ministries, I believe is what that stands for.
Yep.
.net.
Yeah, and to me it looks like it's going to be mobile friendly too. It's just got the look of something that's going to be friendly on your tablet or on your iPhone or Android device.
Yeah, I haven't tried that. I'll have to try it out.
Yep, very good. Need to know, just want to remind everybody once again that the Wells Tech Conference 2015 registration is open. It's been open since the beginning of the month, and we've already got some people signing up, so that means that the seats available in some of the workshops and pre-conference workshops and the sessions are beginning to fill up, so you probably don't want to wait till the last minute. Plus, if you sign up now for this conference, it's running July 9th through 11th this summer here in Waukesha, the Waukesha area, you can get an early bird discount, which is, remind me, Sally, $199, isn't it?
It is $199. It'll go up to $225 on April 2nd, so get your registrations in now, folks. Yeah. And we'd also like to engage our Wells Tech audience in a little guerrilla marketing. We rely on our audience to spread the word about our podcast. We'd also like you to help us spread the word about the conference so as many people as possible are aware of it and hopefully can attend. We've added a new page on the conference website, a press kit page, where we have different flyers and posters and things that you could download. There's a bulletin insert, so you can download that and print it for your bulletin, nice two-per-page format. And right now we have links to our social media sites as well. So check that out. Over time we may add some more promotional blurbage that you could just copy and paste into a bulletin or a newsletter or whatever. You'll see it grow over time, but we did want to make sure that you have access to those different promotional type materials, and certainly encourage you to share it as much as you can.
Yeah, even if you can't attend, we would really appreciate you getting the word out in your congregation, because there is really no downside to having other people from your congregation or school attend this conference and bring back the good stuff that I'm sure is going to be shared at this conference. So.
Yeah. One more note, Martin, just because we're all about insider information, and that is that it's really true that those pre-conference workshops are filling up quickly. I want to say 30 seats per workshop, and Jason Schmidt is turning out to be super popular. He's doing Google Apps, a morning and afternoon session. So if you were thinking that you were going to get into Jason's sessions, you might want to especially get your registration in pretty quickly, because that's a very popular session, it seems. So just to let our listeners know, that's one that you want to get into soon if you're interested.
Giddy up, giddy up. Community feedback.
Oh, and we have much to share here. I keep stopping sharing my screen, though. First off, we heard from our friend Tom Rosenau, who's way out there in the thumb of Michigan at St. John's in Pigeon, and he's a principal and teacher, and he shared this cool website called Plickers, P-L-I-C-K-E-R-S. Yep, Plickers.com. I have to look at it twice. And the concept is that your students don't have to have devices to do feedback and automated feedback assessment type tools. And what you do is you give each student a set of four QR codes, basically. They're really large format codes, and then you can quiz them
on a piece of paper.
Yeah, no tech involved. Just print out these four codes. I looked a little on their website, and you can even buy them on Amazon nicely laminated for your entire class. So the teacher needs a smart device, a phone or an Android, iOS or Android device, and they basically take a picture of the class as they hold up these cards, and it will tally the results of the question that they've asked. So the options are A, B, C, or D. They pick up the card that correlates with their answer, A, B, C, or D, hold it up, take a picture, and you have instant results.
That is so cool. I wonder if that would work for a Synod convention if they had, we had 500 cards, though.
There you go. Well, it's neat. They actually have you map out your student's seating chart, and you get results.
You can tell who's got what card up.
Exactly. And, you know, it tallied, and you can do it for multiple classes, so it's not just for the one class. You can map out different sections or whatever. And, yeah, they have different...
That's cool. I like that.
Downloadable cards. Very cool stuff. And, yeah, we're talking seriously low-tech. You use one device to make this happen. So.
But nice. That sometimes those are the sweetest solutions. So.
Definitely. All right, next up we heard from Pastor Emil Burgess, who serves at Trinity in Caledonia, Wisconsin. And Emil wrote to us, and his comment, which I just got off my screen, said he wondered how to have his LastPass extension log off automatically after a certain duration of time. Otherwise, if someone stole my laptop, I'd still be logged in to LastPass, and they'd have access to all my passwords. And he found a help page that shows you how to go into your LastPass settings if you use LastPass for password management and tell it to automatically log off if it's been idle a certain amount of time. So you may want to do that. As a default, I think when you sign into LastPass, you can tell it to keep you logged in or something like that.
Yeah.
So this is a way to tell it systematically to log you out. You might want to consider putting a password on your computer as well, so
that's
that when
I'm
it boots.
Thinking, because I really don't want to enter my LastPass password every time I need to log in. So I think password protecting your computer is one step, but also making sure that after a period of inactivity on your computer, if you're away from it, it automatically goes to sleep and then requires a password to wake up.
Yeah, goes to a lock screen. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. But this is definitely another way to do that, especially if you've got some real sensitive stuff in there. One thing I don't do with LastPass, one of the passwords or a number of the passwords that I don't actually put in there are my banking passwords. So even if they got it, you know, they could get it in my Facebook account and such, but they would not be able to get in my banking account. So I don't trust it to that degree yet. So there are certain ones that don't qualify for LastPass inclusion. But good tip. For people that don't know what LastPass is, it's really a password manager tool that is indispensable. Every time I bring it up at a conference, I brought it up in Alaska, and everybody was saying, well, what is that? What is that? Because it is really an invaluable tool with the number of passwords, usernames and passwords that we need to remember. And the flip side of that is if you don't have a password manager, more than likely you're using the same password over and over and over again, which is really a bad idea. So.
Or writing it down, which is also not recommended.
Yep. I hope my wife is listening.
Okay, and the next segment of our show will be the Pastor Rob Gunther section of our show.
Now he's got, not only is it on the Wall of Fame, He's got his own little segment.
He does, because he has lots of cool stuff to share. The first one, interestingly,
I would have to say he gets ministry done, too. That's the amazing part. He writes books, audio books. He preaches a sermon every Sunday, and he contributes to the show each week. How does he get it all done?
Serious fans here. The first one I think he maybe said was the dumbest tip ever or something like that. That was the lead-in on his email. Yet in the course of the email, he told us that by the Walmart Savings Catcher app on his cell phone, he scans his receipts on the way out the door, and they compare prices with all the local competitors, and thus far has gotten $33 from his friends at Walmart just for scanning his receipts.
And this wasn't a long period of time either, I don't think, was it?
No, he said just a few months.
Yeah.
So I'd say that's not bad return on an investment in a free app. Scan your receipts. There's a barcode at the bottom of all your Walmart receipts, and let them do the work of price comparison with the current ads in your area, and you may get a $33 gift card out of the deal. So.
And he did say his area wasn't overly populous, you know, with a lot of competing stores. I would think people in more competitive areas might even see greater returns. So
definitely. All right. Next up, Martin, I think he was inspired by your talk and looked for a weekly planner, a digital tool to do weekly planning. And I'm guessing that comes from What's Best Next, maybe planning out your week one week at a time. Mm-hmm. And he found a website, weekplan.net, and after further research found a web-based app for the weekplan.net site, and also an iOS app, My Week, all tied to the same weekplan.net website. So he was pretty excited about it. He obviously just discovered it, so we'll have to have him tell us how it's working for him. Looks like to be a really polished tool, though.
Very nice.
And then finally, he sent us a link to a website called paperbackswap.com, where you can send in your paperback books that you've read and swap them with other people's. And they have a CD swap version and a DVD swap version that's very similar, parallel sites. So if you do a lot of reading, a lot of listening, a lot of watching, and you want to be able to increase your exposure to different media, then perhaps trading it in through this website is a good way to go.
That's cool, too. That's a good idea.
Mm-hmm. One more mention, one more community feedback, this one from Jason Schmidt. It's the website appinventor.mit.edu, and it's done by Massachusetts Institute of Technology. It's basically a web-based programming tool. It looks a lot like their Scratch interface, because MIT is behind Scratch, that drag-and-drop kind of block programming that's part of Scratch. You do it in your browser, but you're actually able to program Android apps and test them out on your phone and submit them to the stores for Android apps. So if you're interested in introducing students to app programming, perhaps appinventor.mit.edu is a site worth checking out.
If you too would like to provide feedback to the show, we would love it if you would decide to do that. And wellstech.wells.net is our show notes page. You can leave a comment there. wellstech@wells.net is our email address. We are on all the social networks. I was shocked and amazed that there was no Pinterest feedback this week. that means that Sally was really busy this past week. No Pinterest. But if you have a pin to share, we have a page to paste it on. Pin it on. Paste is probably not the appropriate term, is it? I probably shouldn't even talk about Pinterest. I should let Sally talk about Pinterest.
So Pinterest knowledgeable, Martin. We also have a Google Plus page, a Facebook page, a Twitter account. You can get in touch with us so many different ways. We'd love it if you left us a voicemail right there on the WellsTech website. In the right margin, you can find a link to send a voicemail. So get on over there, folks, and leave us a comment.
Please do. We'd love
we
it.
Have a,
next week.
Oh, that's right. We have next week to talk about. I was ready to share a video. Skipped right over next
week. So fast, Sally Draper.
No.
We have next week's show to talk about, and I'm excited because Gail's back, broken foot and all.
Yeah, dear Gail.
She didn't let that keep her down. She's going to join the show anyway. And we're going to continue our Wells Tech Goes to School series, where we're featuring just real cool tips and tricks and tools that are available in a particular area of education. And Gail's in the language arts area, and she's going to add some good resources to our page that that I think language arts teachers across the Synod will be eager to take a look at. Apps, sites for all kinds of ages. So that is next week. Wells Tech Goes Back to School.
Yep, looking forward to it. Can't wait to see you, Gail. Now I can talk about the video?
Please.
We are recognizing that tomorrow is Ash Wednesday, the beginning of the season of Lent, and we have a Koine video of O Dearest Jesus, a performance from last year, I think at Fox Valley, possibly. And it's part of a brand new playlist that we've added on our Wells Tech YouTube account that's all Koine. Can't go wrong with an all Koine playlist. And we definitely want to send you that direction as well, just to use perhaps in Bible class, classroom settings, background, lovely music and video that you can make use of. So check that out. We'll have the video embedded on our show notes and a link to that new playlist.
Sally and I are so happy that you joined us. Again, our thanks to Julia for joining us earlier with the interview. And we do hope that you will share this with a friend, encourage other people to join the Wells Tech family, that you'll offer feedback, and maybe more than anything else, that you come back next week to join us again. Thanks for your time. Blessings, and blessings on your Lenten focus and your journey to the cross. See you next week, everybody.